We will continue our study in Romans chapter 1. I invite you to turn there, and in just a moment we'll get into our text and our lesson. I want to, before the lesson, make you aware that there are a few copies of an issue of Truth Magazine that are on the table in the foyer. It's on evidences of faith. It's a special issue, and it was just published this month. Some of you may take the magazine, others of you may not. I'm not soliciting for you to do one or the other, but rather if you think that this could help you in your study or teaching someone else, it is particularly talking about evidences that the Bible is the Word of God. I have an article in it, and for that reason I got some extra copies, and I wanted to share those with you if you think you could benefit from that. Or if you'd just like to take it and read it and for yourself, feel free to do that. As they last there, I would maybe suggest one per household. That way we can spread them around as much as possible. But I want to make that available to you. Also, add my word of welcome to the visitors we have. We appreciate that you're here. I invite you to join us in a careful study of God's Word. And particularly as it bears upon your life, as we intend to do the same for ourselves. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and that it demonstrates it to be so, and compels us then to allow it to establish the faith that we hold and live by. The Bible is not merely some intellectual exercise or some emotional comfort bag that we plop into in last resort. But it is the revealed mind of God. It is God's Word, His communication to us. And that we can use it in our lives to believe and then to live that belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be blessed by Him in the forgiveness of our sins and live with a sure hope of heaven when life is over. And so if you're not a Christian tonight, we want you to consider that you need to be saved from your sin. That if you continue on a path of sin, there is no hope because you are without God. And you need God in your life. And you need God in your life the way He wants to be in your life, not the way you say that you want Him. We all must yield ourselves, every one of us, to follow God's will in God's way. And in that way, honor Him and give Him the due reverence and respect and regard that He deserves. And that, in fact, we cannot live with Him if we fail to do that. So we want to encourage you to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and repent of your sin. And confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And then as a child of God, as a Christian, to live for Jesus from this day forward. And then, walking with God now, you can live with God forevermore. As God's people, it's important that we realize that sin can still overwhelm us. We can commit sin against God, and when we do, we need to repent of it. We need to confess it in prayer to God. And we want to encourage that as well in our lives. And if there's something public that you need to address and make right, or if you just need the prayers of your brethren about some struggle at this time, then we would be happy to help you as well at the end of our lesson. We hope that you'll respond to God's call. I must say at the beginning, I'm not sure just exactly how far I'm going to get in this lesson tonight because there's some things I want to say in the first half, and Maury is teaching me better to stop instead of pressing and hurrying through the last half of a lesson. So I'm going to try to take that lesson, but we'll just see how far we get. And if we don't finish it tonight, we'll finish it next week. But I do want us to this is intended to be the last group of and the final lesson in this series of lessons taken from Romans, the first chapter, verses 18 through 32. As here we have a description of the Gentile world that has chosen to reject God, and in their rejection of God, they are under God's wrath. We've shared this chart or version of it in just about every previous lesson of the series. As it outlines this text, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth in unrighteousness, verse 18 says. And as it continues, we find that they refused, though they knew God, they did not glorify Him, and they were not thankful to Him, and choosing rather to construct their own gods, which were no gods at all, and to worship those creatures of their own making, rather than the God who made them and all things. God, it says, gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts. Verse 24. So they fell into the defilement of sin in verse 26. You see, when man chooses sin, then God's not going to restrain them. They're making choices. God chose us, or God created us to make choices. He wants us to choose to follow Him, but if we choose sin, God's going to give us up to those sinful things. And so it happened in the Gentile world that God gave them up to vile passions, verse 26, and exchanging the natural use for that which is against nature. They began to defile their bodies in sins of all sorts that were vile and expressions of sinful passions. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge, verse 28. They didn't like to even think about God. And so He said God gave them over to that. The result of that is a depraved mind, a debased mind, to do those things that are not fitting, not proper. And then He goes into this litany of sins. This is not an exhaustive list of sins. It is representative in some ways. But it also speaks to the reality of what happens to any society when the true and living God is ignored, when He is refused and rebelled against. And this extended list of sins not only, of course, destroys the soul, it destroys a society. And we see that being played out in our society, Western society. It's played out in other societies throughout the ages. And as long as time exists, as whenever men and women refuse God, be assured that this same progression of sin is going to happen. The same result is going to exist. We're going to be under the wrath of God. And in that wrath, of course, there is eternal loss of the soul. It doesn't have to be that way. God sent His Son so that those in sin can be saved out of it, can come out of these things. But it's also imperative that we understand, it's important that we understand that we have to decide ourselves to have the faith that we need to have in order to repent and reject sin rather than continuing in sin, reject God. Now, and so let's look at this last set of sins. And we begin in Romans 1:30. I'm going to spend some time here because he describes them as being disobedient to parents. We see this again in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2. Of those who, he said, in the latter times, men will plunge into all manner of sin. Let's read that passage together. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 1. Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, from these such people turn away. Now, you'll see some corresponding words there. Some of the things that are said in this text are also said in Romans 1. And one of them is disobedient to parents. Now, how is it that what happens when a child is disobedient to the parent? Well, what it's really about is the child is not honoring the parent. The child is not giving due honor and regard and respect to the parent that it ought to be. And you see, when God is refused, when we refuse to retain God in our knowledge, a consequence of that is little regard for those who have authority over us in our lives. Parents as we grow up as children, our parents are the first line of authority in our lives. It's the first lessons that we learn about authority. Now, I say immediately and at the very beginning, I understand that there are a lot of ungodly parents who don't teach their children a proper view of authority and respect and honor. And there are a lot of parents who sin against their children. And we can preach on that. We have and will preach on that. But tonight we're talking about children honoring their parents, obeying their parents. You see, disobedience to parents is one of the unrighteousness, one of the traits of unrighteousness and activities of unrighteousness when God is rejected. I want us to see that link. When children disobey their parents, what is going on, whether they at the moment realize it or not, God knows what's happening. They're rejecting Him. And children need to learn that too. In disobeying your parent, you're disobeying God. At the heart of obedience is honor and respect. In Exodus 20 and verse 12. Exodus 20 and verse 12. And as you turn there, let me just say this now. I didn't know. I debated with myself, but I'm going to say it. You see, I have some children that are obedient, and I have some children that are disobedient. And I believe that up to this moment, dealing with and trying to address the disobedient children in their adulthood has given me a greater appreciation, first of all, for God. Because you see, every one of us at some point as His children have been disobedient to Him. And it gives you a new point of view, a new perspective when you begin to analyze and realize that we can get frustrated as parents with disobedient children. But do we stop and wonder how frustrated and hurt and pained God is when we sin against Him? So as parents, as you deal with disobedient children, there's also a lesson for you not to be disobedient to God. At the same time, it's taught me something about the mercy of God. Nehemiah, the 9th chapter, it's in our notes. At great length, it discusses how Israel was time and time and time again disobedient to God in their history. And yet time and time again, God showed mercy. He was long-suffering. He did not ignore their sin. Mercy is not ignoring sin. He disciplined them. He punished them. But He also showed mercy. And if we believe that the only stance that we can take as a parent when a child is disobedient is punishment, then we've also forgotten mercy. There is punishment and there's mercy when mercy is deserved. And of course, there needs to be repentance, doesn't there? And God shows mercy, but He's going to be on His terms. God's a merciful God. Mercy and truth come together. That's what I'm trying to say is, I'm walking in these shoes right now, and I know some of you are too, as parents and as children. It may be that right now in your life, you're not being obedient the way God wants you to be. You'll have to answer that. You'll have to answer that, look at your heart, and look at God's Word. But I want for every one of us to realize that when we choose to practice disobedience to our parents, we are showing a great dishonor and disrespect to them and to God. And that God, in His Word, in commanding children to respect and to obey their parents, is trying to teach them to honor and respect God. And so when your parents expect you to obey them, and punish you when they don't, when you don't, understand it's because they love you. And it's because they're trying to teach you what God has taught them. That you need to obey them. You need to show honor. Not just to them, but to God Himself. Now, in Exodus 20 and verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. See, God, when He's now in Ephesians 1, that's quoted when Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he quotes this passage. So obey in Ephesians 6 is tantamount to honor. It's equivalent to honor in Exodus. Honor your parents. Honor your mother and father. Obey your mother and your father. You do that, you see, by showing them, by yielding to their instruction, following their instruction, accepting their counsel, doing what they say to do, and in that way, gain the wisdom that Proverbs 4 talks about as the father there speaking to his son to get wisdom, to get understanding. We'll come back to that text probably here in just a little bit. Now, this is what we're talking about. You see, I'm not just pulling this out of the air. This is the training ground. Obeying your parents is a training ground for obeying God. Hebrews 12 and verse 9 says, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much rather and readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?" Now let's not forget, Paul categorizes disobedience to parents as reflective of a heart that refuses to retain a knowledge of God. And you see, Paul now, in a different context, no doubt, but he is saying, here, learn the lesson of discipline. Learn the lesson of instructive and corrective discipline, that when our fathers corrected us, we paid them respect, that is, we yielded to them. We started minding them. One of the problems, I guess two problems that come together is parents who don't correct their children and children who don't accept the correction from their parents. We have a society now who says you're beating a child if you spank them. There is a difference between a beating and a spanking. One is corrective, the other is abuse. There is abuse that can occur, but a spanking is not sinful. And we can go to a lot of Proverbs that demonstrate that. But the world has a different view. But God says, children, I want you to learn to obey me. And so what I want you to do is obey your parents. And as you obey your parents, then you're learning something about honor and respect. I want you to see this a little more closely with me. Obedience shows respect. Let's see this specifically from Scripture. Again, what I'm trying to say here tonight, and for us to see here tonight, is parents don't just pull this out of the sky, kids, when they expect you to obey them. There are reasons for you to obey your parents. And one of them is they are teaching you respect. Leviticus chapter 12. And we look at That's 19. I have a typo there. All right, Chuck, you're going to have to correct me. I didn't revise that. Leviticus 19, verses 2 and 3. "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God.'" Now God is holy. God is our God. He is our God. And so we are to keep His Sabbaths. They were to. I'm sorry. Israel was to keep their Sabbath, His Sabbaths, and we're to keep God's Word today. But the principle at work is reverence for God, and now sandwiched in between that is reverence for the parents. Revere your mother and your father. And the word is the idea of fear. Dread displeasing your parents. Why? Because to do so is unholy. And God, the holy God, expects you to fear Him, and He expects you to fear your parents. That is, respect Him, respect your parents. I was afraid when I knew I had disobeyed my father, because I knew my father was going to tan my bottom, and I deserved it. And he did. And I remember it. And it taught me something. It taught me to respect Him and what He said. And that's what God wants of children today. It has not changed. in our so-called enlightened age, where the darkness of unbelief has draped itself over the minds and eyes of a whole society, so that now they believe the children are in charge, and the children decide what's right and what's wrong. No, sir. No, sir. We have to obey our parents because it teaches us respect for the holy God. Now again, I reiterate, there are some unholy parents that wouldn't, that seemingly don't know the first thing about being a godly parent. I grant that. They sin against their children. And you're going to have a harder row to hoe. It's going to be more difficult. But you can come out of such disrespect and disregard and sin to do the right thing yourself, to honor God, and to realize that God is teaching in the obedience the idea of respect. Humility. Children need to learn humility. We, before God, need to learn humility. And that's what we learn as Christians when we have committed ourselves to obey God. We learn to be humble. But you see, obeying our parents puts us on that road of learning that even before we become Christians. And when we deviate from that road, we neither obey our parents or God. We are not neither humble before our parents nor before our God. Look please at Proverbs 6, 20 and 21. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. Okay. So obedience is a humility is a necessary quality in learning and practicing obedience. If I'm not humble in my heart, then I resist. I push back. I say no when parents say yes. I fight when God says, go this way. I say, no, I'm going to go my own way. Obedience is designed to train us to be humble, to yield ourselves, to bend our will to the will of God. So as children, we are taught to bend our will to the will of our parents. And that's a great responsibility upon parents to teach that. And it's a responsibility upon children to accept that training and to follow that training. Thirdly, obedience shows trust. Trust that if I will obey, then there will be a blessing. It's not all about fear. It's not all about about dread that if I don't obey, if I disobey, I'm going to get hurt. That's part of it. But there also has to be the counterbalance of if I obey, then there's a blessing. So in obedience, we learn trust. We learn safety and security in obeying our parents. Just as in obeying God, there is trust, there is security. In Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, 26 through 28, God said, behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods which you've not known. There's a blessing before you, child, and there's a curse before you, child. And you decide, Israel, you decide if you'll be blessed or you'll be cursed. Child, you'll decide if you'll be blessed by your parents and God or cursed by God. And bring your parents hurt and shame. And make no mistake, when you as a child disobey your parent, you bring shame to your parent. You bring hurt to your parent. But you see, that's what we do to God. When we sin against God, we shame God. We hurt God. That's why we need to learn humble, obedient, respectful, trusting God to do His will and find blessing rather than the curse of disobeying God. But when we refuse to retain God in our knowledge, then why should I obey my parents? Why should I respect any authority when I have already disregarded the one source of authority that gives all the others authority over me? You see the dilemma? I want to share with you something. This came in the mail a couple of days ago, and it's a bulletin. And I remember this when it happened. I didn't know the person involved directly. I know some of the people and knew some of the people that were involved in his life. But I want to take a little time and read you some of this. This is why I already see I'm not going to get through all this lesson tonight. I didn't think I would, but I want to spend some time with you on this. This is the first part of this is from a Houston Chronicle news article, and it's dated August the 2nd, 1999. Now, the article was written by W.R. Jones. Some of you know Brother W.R. Jones. He's deceased now, but gospel preacher, and actually used to preach in my hometown when I was just knee-high to a grasshopper, I guess. And the title of the article, and it's also, it was published in Truth Magazine in October of 99. The title is, "A Brother in Christ is Executed." Ricky Blackman, set to die Wednesday for the robbery slaying of a Shelby County man who was stabbed and slashed with a homemade medieval-style sword in 1987. Blackman, 41, the first of a half dozen this month to face the lethal needle, says his death, likely to occur Wednesday because all of his appeals are exhausted, is the best thing that could happen. Quote, "Every young man on death row should give thanks to God when they get an execution date," he said. Quote, "If they wanted to punish me, that would be a life sentence. They are giving me a way out. I'm thanking God for it." Blackman acknowledges hacking to death Carl Wrinkle, 26, at Wrinkle's Shelby County home in East Texas the night of March 28, 1987, and taking about $600 in cash and a small pistol. The murder weapon was a 3-foot-long serrated edge steel sword the former sawmill worker made out of a saw blade. He blamed a girlfriend, jealousy, drugs, and a need for quick cash for the attack that left Wrinkle butchered. Blackman's girlfriend, who had been seen with the victim earlier in the evening, was arrested and led police to Blackman. She was given a life prison term. The son of a preacher, Blackman, who was wearing a black ninja outfit at the time of the killing, said he spurned his father's teachings until he arrived on death row. He looked forward to his death. Quote, "I'm going to a much better place," he said. "I'm going to heaven, no doubt in my mind." Now the rest of the story. Brother Jones writes, "There's nothing good that can be said about this atrocious crime, which was the working of Satan to this man's heart. However, I've made the journey from my home in Conroe, Texas, to Huntsville, Ellis's number one unit," that's the prison in Texas, Huntsville, Texas, "a good many times to visit Ricky Don and study the Word of God with him. He constantly studied the Bible and was always thrilled to see me that we might pray and study the Word together for 2 hours. Another gentleman went with him, Bob Pulliam, and he studied with someone else while Ricky was studying with Brother Jones. Ricky was a handsome man, very clean, neat appearance. He was usually upbeat in spite of his circumstances. At the end of our sessions, I would ask the guard if I could buy him a soft drink, which was handed to him through a very small door. I never shook his hand. The nearest we ever came to contact was placing our hands opposite each other on the heavy wire that separated us. I had the opportunity to meet his parents while preaching a meeting at the 84th Street Church of Christ in Oklahoma City. They drove quite a distance to attend 2 nights of the meeting. Not long after that, Brother Blackman, a gospel preacher, the father, passed suddenly from this life. Of course, Ricky Don could not attend the funeral. They were godly people, and according to Ricky, they did what they could to bring him up the right way. Parents should not be blamed for ungodly children when they've done their best to rear them in God's way. Leon Goff baptized Ricky into Christ when he was a young man. After the execution, his body was taken to Mount Pleasant, Texas, where Leon Goff and Larry Bilbo spoke at his funeral. A number of other preachers and Christians visited with him on various occasions, and so on. Now, Ricky Don told me, and this, I thank you for bearing with me. Here's, I'm getting to some points here. Ricky Don told me that when he was 17 years old, he rebelled against the Lord and his parents and refused to listen to their advice. He said, "Don't blame my parents. Don't blame the prosecuting attorney. He was just doing the job he was elected to do. Nor the jury, which simply acted on the evidence they heard. I alone have sinned." So here's a murderer. Grew up, son of a gospel preacher, killed a man, executed for his crime. But before the execution, some time before, he said, "I've sinned. I'm the one." He said, "I'm guilty. I deserve to be punished." Now, young people and young friends, as Brother Jones writes, there are three mistakes Ricky made when he was a young man, and I urge you to beware of these three snares, and I want to urge you too. Number one, he decided to leave God out of his life. Of course, God had been back in his life for a decade, Brother Jones writes, for which we're grateful. But there was a time when God was not in the picture. It isn't that he has not repented and that he cannot be saved, but just look at the price he has paid and that others have paid, frankly, as well. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6 and 7. Some of this reaping can take place in this life. What a price to pay. My young friends, don't make this mistake. Don't decide to leave God out of your life. You think he, at 17, said, "Well, you know, one of these days I'm going to kill a man." You think he thought that way? When he rebelled against his parents, when his parents were instructing him and teaching him and he rejected their authority and disobeyed them, you think he sat down and said, "Now, you know, here in a few years I'm going to make a blade and I'm going to hack a guy to death." You didn't think that way. And not that it only started with disobeying his parents. There are certainly many factors. But this was one of them. Don't leave God out of your life, young person. Don't think, "Oh, I just cannot wait until I'm old enough that I don't have to go to church anymore." It's not about going to church. It's about serving God. It's about loving God. It's about faith in God. Mistake number two. He decided that he would not listen to his parents. Brother Jones makes a very wise statement next. He says, "Children are not qualified to run their own lives. They need the guidance of good parents." Bless your heart, little child. You're just not qualified yet to run your life. You need your parents. And parents, that's why your children need you, to teach them the way of God. This mindset and this approach to rearing children I just don't want to set anything negative in their mind. Just whatever they want and how whatever direction they want to go and be, that'll be fine. That won't work. Children are not qualified to run their own lives. That's why there's infancy, adolescence, and then adulthood. Here's the reason why, Brother Jones notes from the Word of God. "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Proverbs 22 and verse 15. My young friends, don't make this mistake. Don't decide you're not going to listen to your parents, because your parents are interested in you respecting God, obeying God, and being blessed by God. Number three, Ricky Don decided to run with the wild crowd. The wild crowd will promise you great fun. Washington has legalized marijuana, and the wild crowd says, come on, let's go get a bong. Let's go get a hit. Let's go have fun. Or let's make a road trip to Colorado. Because they've done the same thing. That will always bring you to a bitter end. Proverbs 1 and verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, consent not with them. Don't consent. Don't make the mistakes that Ricky Don Blackman made. A Christian who fell away, who would not obey God, who would not obey his parents, who killed a man and paid with his life. He repented. Paul was a murderer, and Paul was forgiven. We're not going to stand in judgment of the sin. God, if we believe God's word, and I do, God forgives the repentant sinner. The point here is, don't start down that road. Now, in Malachi 1, let's just use the last couple of minutes. I'm not even going to start trying to look at the other part of this because, you see, we just don't have time. We'll finish this next week. But I want you to note something in Malachi 1 that God wrote to His children. And something that I believe that we can take to heart ourselves. Verse 6 of chapter 1. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? Now, the priests of Israel were despising the name of God. They were corrupting the sacrifices, defiling the altar, and he goes on to elaborate and describe that. They were corrupting the worship. Brethren, we are priests unto God. But God will not accept us and our worship if we corrupt it. He is our Father. He is due our honor. He is due our obedience. And we cannot think that we can choose for ourselves how we're going to worship Him and God will accept it. Because after all, it's what I want. No, it's not about what you want or I want. It's about what God says He wants. He is God. A son honors a father. A son is supposed to obey his father, honor his father. God says, but I'm your father. Where's my honor? Where's your obedience to me? Brethren, we must take this lesson ourselves, lest in remembering to teach our children to obey us, we forget to teach them to obey God. And turn around and think that they can do whatever they want religiously and it's okay because, you know, it's what we want. It's not about that. It's about our Father. And about His holiness and about us fearing, respecting, honoring Him, revering Him, and yielding ourselves to Him. Can we repent? Yes. Can we come back from a life of disobedience to parents and disobedience to God? Yes. When we will repent, when we will have a godly sorrow for our sin. May I say something personally here? Debbie and I want to thank you. We want to thank you for praying for our children who are being disobedient to God. I want to thank the children here for praying for my children. Because I know you do. And I want to thank the parents here for teaching your children to pray for my children as I pray for yours. Thank you. Because you know, where there's still the opportunity to pray. And our Father in heaven who hears us, we believe there's a God who works in this world to answer prayers. And that opportunities will exist for the disobedient to return to honoring God, to return to obeying Him, to be forgiven, even of murder and of the sins of this world. Keep praying for not just my children, but for all of our children and grandchildren. Let us continue to pray for each other, and let us do everything that we can to set the example ourselves, to be obedient children of God, and do that by obeying your mother and father. And let us all do that by obeying our Father in heaven. If you're not a Christian tonight, you need to know you have a Father in heaven. You need to know that you need to honor Him. You need to obey Him. He has loved you so much that He has sent His Son to die for you so you could live, so you could be forgiven, so that you could have a relationship with your Heavenly Father, not just now, but evermore in heaven. So we urge you tonight to be born again. Be born into the family of God. Repent of your sin against Him. Confess your faith and be baptized into Jesus for the remission of your sins. If you'll do that, God will forgive you of the sins of the past. He will cleanse your soul. He will add you to His church. You'll be saved. You'll be a Christian. And then as a child of God, you can walk with God this day forward, obeying Him, honoring Him, in humility, trusting Him that He will bless you. If you're a Christian and you haven't been a faithful child, you've been disobedient to the Heavenly Father, then we urge you to repent. With godly sorrow, pray His forgiveness, and He will forgive. He is a merciful God who's ready to forgive if we will return to Him. If we can help you be right with God, to follow His word and His way, won't you come while we stand and we sing?